Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned it.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning, and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Being a mother, being a...
Yo. You want to start over? Okay, hit the reset button. Okay, come on. Let's do it.
He's strolling in here like that.
Hey! Morning, guys. Good morning, USA!
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Feast of the Planet, it's Tuesday!
Yes, it's Tuesday. Ooh.
Yes, it is. What's happening?
I am beat today.
What's up, guys?
Well, you got a long week ahead of you.
So my mom's birthday is this week, so I took her out to dinner.
Happy birthday, Mama Yee.
Her birthday is on the 26th, and my friend Michael Kaiser, his mom's birthday was yesterday. So last year we ended up randomly doing a joint birthday for our moms together. And so they had so much fun, we did it again this year. And it was a lot of work, because I was in charge of the playlist, which is the most annoying thing. And it's just me playing music off my phone, but everybody kept having requests. And then I had to keep on paying attention to what music was playing. I couldn't even relax.
Why you just don't put Tidal on and let track radio start?
Because everybody wanted to hear specific songs.
See, I ain't got time for that. See,
I know, and I'm trying to appease everyone, and then I'm trying to make sure my mom hears the songs. Then here's a fun fact. Mike Kaiser, who's the president of Atlantic Records, his mom used to be in a singing group.
What was the name of the group?
The Jeanettes. And so I pulled up her song.
The Jeanettes?
Yeah.
It's so it's like more than one Jeanette?
I guess.
That is a silly name. That's like the Keishas, the Shaniquas.
They didn't blow up. Yeah, they didn't make
the
it up.
Jeanettes.
So I pulled up the song and we were playing that, and it was very cute. But happy birthday to my mom. And my brother's birthday is coming up also this week, so it's a busy week for me just because of family obligations.
Did the Jeanettes make money?
I don't know.
Enough to get Kaiser some glasses.
That's all I know.
Okay. All right.
Now, shout out to A$AP Ferg. Yesterday, A$AP Ferg had a dinner in Jersey. We invite all the DJs. He plays his album, and it's just an appreciation dinner. Now, here at the Breakfast Club, we usually don't make those type of dinners because, I'll be honest with you, they're usually like 8, 9 o'clock, and we got to be in bed early because we got to be up at 4. But A$AP Ferg is a guy that always supports everything that I do. Comes to my car shows, my birthday parties, and all that. So I stopped through yesterday. That's why I'm tired.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, so shout out to A$AP Ferg. His new album, his EP, is out right now. It's called Floor Seats.
Yep.
Yep. That's what it's called? Yeah, floor seat. So shout out to ASAP Ferg.
I had an event last night at 92Y. Me and my man Kevin Love with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dropping the clues bombs with Kevin Love. We was out there discussing our favorite subject, mental health, because, you know, we both started going to therapy a couple years ago. And I think if you remember when Kevin Love had a panic attack and had to leave the game.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that was the first time he ever got clinically diagnosed with anxiety, even though he had been experiencing that his whole life. But, yeah, we had a great conversation last night at 92Y, man, because the one thing I say about eradicating the stigma around mental health, the only way to do that is to tell your story.
God.
And that's what we're all doing. We're telling our stories.
I remember he did that letter. Was it in the Players Tribune?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So he did a letter just, you know, discussing why he decided to, you know, actually start seeking mental health treatment and going to a therapist and telling people about his anxiety and things of that nature. So,
okay,
yeah, that's my guy.
And shout to Caesar and the real estate team that came up yesterday, Matt, Sabine, Jose, the credit dude. I mean, we got so many calls about people interested in investing into their own communities and buying their first properties and buying their first home. So we were at the office talking to people all day long, trying to help people out and explain to them how to get into the real estate game. Like I said, if you get an opportunity, you know, buy a book about real estate. You know, there's so many free podcasts. Look online. It's just a matter of creating generational wealth, and it's something that you should get into, all right? All right. Now, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
All right, what is going on in the Ukraine? There's a scandal, and it all has to do with Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
Donald Trump is the man. I just want y'all to know that, okay? Straight
well,
gangster.
Man. Oh, boy.
Straight gangster, and there's nothing nobody can do about it, and there's nothing anybody seems to want to do about it. You hear me, Democrats? I'm talking to you. Nancy Pelosi, I'm talking to you. You're very cowardly right now.
All right. All right, well, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. The last night in Monday Night Football, the Bears beat the Redskins 31-15. Now, what else are we talking about, Yee?
Let's talk about Donald Trump and this whole Ukraine scandal. So they're trying to figure out whether or not Donald Trump pressured Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden.
What are they trying to figure out? He said it. Rudy Giuliani said it. They confessed to it.
Right, and so far, this is what Trump supporters are saying. They're saying there's no evidence because it was a whistleblower who raised the alarm, who only was operating with a secondhand knowledge of Trump's conversation. That's what Trump supporters.
But Rudy Giuliani confirmed it last week on
CNN.
His own lawyer.
All right, now, here's what Donald Trump had to say about his conversation with on behalf of Ukraine to where you're talking about Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son, Hunter.
Conversation I had was largely congratulatory, was largely corruption, all of the corruption taking place, was largely the fact that we don't want our people, like Vice President Biden and his son, creating to the corruption already in the Ukraine.
What?
I just want the Democrats to know that they are absolute cowards. Okay, they keep saying things like we got to follow the evidence and we have to investigate to see if Trump actually asked Ukraine to investigate. There's nothing to investigate. Why investigate what they have already confessed to? Giuliani said it happened. Trump said it happened. But nobody seems to care.
Yes, and this actually goes back to what happened in Russia and how they were able to actually influence the U.S. election. So this could actually be one of the worst political crises of a presidency that's been around. Now, here's what Joe Biden has said in response to Donald Trump's Ukraine phone conversation.
Thou should investigate this. This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power.
Really?
To get on the phone with a foreign leader who is looking for help from the United States and ask about me and imply things if that's what happened.
His whole presidential campaign has been an abuse of power. All right, there's nothing to investigate. Why do you have to investigate what they have already confessed? The fact of the matter is the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, they are scared to impeach. They are scared to death of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a whole gangster out here. He is 50 Cent, and nobody wants to say anything to him when he gets to going.
Well, Donald Trump is not taking impeachment seriously at all. Here's what he said about possibly being impeached.
Not at all, seriously. Phone call with the president of Ukraine. It's just a Democrat witch hunt. Here we go again. The one who's got the problem is Biden. Biden did what they would like to have me do, except for one problem. I didn't do it. What Biden did is a disgrace. What his son did is a disgrace. The son took money from Ukraine. The son took money from China. China would love to see. They can think of nothing they'd rather see
than Biden get in, because they will take this great deal that we're about to make, and they would really have themselves a deal for themselves.
If I was Donald Trump, I wouldn't worry about impeachment either. Why would I worry about impeachment when the only people that can impeach you is a bunch of cowards? They're not going to do it. They're scared to death. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are scared to death.
And there's no evidence of any wrongdoing by Biden or by his son Hunter at all at this time. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your front page news.
That's your president, Donald Trump.
Be scared of a bunch of cowards? What? They're not going to do nothing.
All right.
They ain't done nothing thus far.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, or maybe you feel blessed and you want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Trav, what up? Get it off your chest, Trav.
Yo, what's up, Envy?
What's up, Trav?
Hi, Trav.
Hey, my beautiful Angela G.
Hey, boo.
Doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's up, sir?
What up, sis? How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, you?
Yes.
You was not looking too good.
Oh, our team?
No, not my team. That's your team now.
Ain't you from Philly?
Oh, you picked the Eagles? Yeah.
Well, no, I said I was leaning toward it.
Oh, you got to pick a team by now. Come on now.
They're just leaning towards them.
I haven't picked yet. I'm going to pick by the end of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Trav.
You?
Your team 3-0, right?
Our team is 3-0. Dropped one of Clues Bonds for the Dallas Cowboys.
This is usually when things start going downhill.
What do you want, Trav?
This 3-0 talk. Don't worry about it. You don't understand 3-0 talk, Envy.
Hey, what do you want, Trav? Congratulations. I see that y'all going on tour.
Yes, we'll be in Philly.
Stop in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. We're kicking off the lip service tour in Philly.
That's right, Liz. Check your DM me because I asked you a question.
What'd you say?
About Philadelphia. I said, check your DM because I asked you a question about Philadelphia.
Okay, all right.
Trav, what do you want this morning, man?
I want to
talk about my apartment building, man. Like, they're getting too expensive, bro. Like, they really getting too expensive for this apartment building to be this raggedy, bro. They went up 50 cents on the dryers, bro. So now, and the 50 cents on the washing machine.
You better hang dry your clothes.
I'm going to tell you why you got a raggy apartment building. Trav, you know why you got a raggy apartment building?
Because I'm broke.
Nope, because your mouth and your ass trash.
Oh, my goodness.
No man want to take
care
of you.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Terrence, what up? Get it off your chest.
What up? Good morning, y'all.
What's up, bro?
Hey, I wanted to say something about the barbs going in on Donnell Robbins the other day.
No,
I just want to tell Donnell Robbins I appreciate him, man. A lot of people don't know this man is a blessing to my family. And I want to let them know thank you. I wanted the world to know I appreciate Donnell Robbins. 4 years ago, my sons went to college. Their freshman year, kids were doing Geeked Up College challenges. So instead of drinking beers and dancing parties, they got dressed on Martin Luther King birthday and talked about black excellence. Don't chase the bag, guarantee the bag. And the video went viral. I come in the house one day, they on the phone with Donnell Robbins. He's telling them he liked their video. His son, Austin, you know, liked rap music, and he liked seeing music with substance. You know, kids with college music out, future doctors. So that wasn't it. 4 years later, he came to Virginia, and me and my wife contacted him and let him know we was going to be at his show. We came to his show. He had me and my wife stand up while he was on stage and introduce us to his audience and let us know what our sons were doing and put their CD on the loudspeaker so the people can hear.
Blew my mind.
That wasn't it. He didn't stop there.
Oh, boy.
The following week, he came back to Richmond and asked my sons if they want to open up his show. He let them open up his concert in Richmond. And the following day, Sunday, he brought me, my wife, and my kids to Ben Wallace's house in Detroit, Pistons for Sunday brunch with him and his family.
Donnell sounds like a stalker.
Fam.
Yeah, sound a little crazy.
How much?
The man is a blessing, man.
How much Donnell pay you to say all this, bro?
Is this Donnell?
Donnell, right. Honestly, I couldn't believe it. Even to this day, I still go on my phone and look at the videos we had with Ben and Ben Wallace's house. You know, he had a basketball court and everything in his house. My kids was embarrassed because I was out there taking pictures next to the car. They're like, Dad, you embarrassed us. I'm like, man, ain't nobody going to believe this. I would have had proof. But it's been a blessing. It showed my kids, no matter where you at, where you get to, you can still humble yourself and do something for the next man under you.
How did Donnell disguise his voice like this?
And I will say, Donnell do have a good heart, but you also got to keep in mind that he be trying to hook his gay brother up with guys, too. So you know what I'm saying?
That's true. The good thing about it is, I called before, the guy's name, you going to lie, especially you, Charlamagne, with all this hatred out here. Look up Solidarity by B, the movement, even on YouTube. The letter B, space, the, space, movement. And they got two CDs, one called College Trap, and they show our kids trapping college the right way without all the consequences. And the other one called Medicine, because they're in school, they graduated in school to be doctors.
I'm going
to
check it out, King.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Haja.
Haja, what's up? Get it off your chest.
I'm concerned mostly about our next presidency election because we know that Russia did this last election. How do we know that's not going to happen the next time, even with all the efforts of everyone going out and voting?
I've been screaming this for months. I am glad that somebody finally called up and is paying this attention. That is the biggest concern. And the fact that Mitch McConnell blocked an election security bill and the fact that there's voter suppression. This fight is fixed and nobody seems to give a damn.
We've been saying that for the longest.
Including the Democrats.
Hello, who's this?
Hey. Good morning. This is Kiki from San Diego. Hello, DJ Envy. Hi, Angela Lee.
Good morning.
What's up, Charlamagne the God?
Hey, Kiki.
Do you love me? What's up,
I knew you was going to do
I couldn't
that.
Resist.
Friday morning. Y'all still love it. I don't care.
There you go.
Good morning, y'all. DJ Envy, I just wanted to send a special shout out to you because you came to L.A. I drove up there to get the knowledge. I've been in contact with the mortgage guy. He's so fun, so personable. I really appreciate all the knowledge that you did and what you did for the community. And I wanted my friend from Jersey to attend the same thing. However, you are offering a two-day thing, and it's $500. And I was just wondering if you were thinking about offering for those who can't afford the $500. Were you thinking about considering just for the one day so they can attend, like, the $100 seminar? I know it's more beneficial to attend the whole thing, but $500 is just a little bit out of their reach. And I was just wondering if you were just considering doing for those who can't afford the 2 days, just offering the one day for those who really wanted the knowledge or just
getting
the 2 days.
No, we're not doing a one-day seminar. We'll probably do another one in the New Jersey area. But this seminar is a little more in-depth. Like, we're actually taking people in houses, so we have to rent buses. We have to get food for people. We're doing a mixer, so it's a little more in-depth. We're actually, if you don't know, it's a two-day seminar. So what we're doing is, for a lot of people that want to get into real estate and really don't know what to do or how to do it, what we're doing is we're actually renting buses and taking people to numerous properties, walking them through the properties, going pretty much from start to flip, and we're showing them about what lumber they should be using, the flooring they should be using, and going in depth with that. And it's a 2-day thing. So then after that, we make sure people have food, and then after that, we break down and we have everybody there, from finance people to you name it. So we're flying a lot of people in. This is more of for somebody that really, really wants to jump and really, really is scared but doesn't know what to do. So we kind of guide people through. It's kind of like a one-on-one type of thing. But we'll be having more seminars like that in the tri-state. But this is more of advanced for people that really want to jump in and don't know where to start.
Okay. All right. Well, I just was wondering. Thank you so much for my call again. Thank you. Oh my God, you don't even know how you inspired my life. I'm telling you, you're gonna hear from me real soon. Kiki from San Diego, just check me out. All right, y'all have a blessed day, Charlamagne. Hey, sexy boo, with your
arm yourself. Hey,
now Kiki, next time you call up here, I want you to tell me you got a crib and you invested. That's the next time I want to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a blessed one.
All right, Kiki.
All right, bye bye.
Bye bye, mama. Veronica.
Good morning.
Good morning. Get it off your chest.
Good morning. I just wanted to say hi to you guys. I listen to you every morning. I wanted to say thank you to Angela Yee. About 5 years ago, I called for Aski about my relationship advice, and I'm still with that person. We're engaged. We have a house. We're happy. So I just wanted to thank you for that advice and spread some positivity this morning.
Oh, that's great. What was the advice about? What was the question at that time?
I had asked you because he was my boyfriend at the time, and he was working a lot, and just, we weren't spending any time together at all. And you just, told me not to give him any ultimatums, be patient while he, works. He can't really do anything about that because I was getting fed up. So you told me to be patient, and I was, and it all worked out.
I'm so happy to hear that. That's dope. I love it.
Good job,
no
mama.
Problem. Have a good day, guys.
Congratulations, too.
Thanks.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Bob Iger's new memoir. You know him from being the CEO of Disney. Now he put out a new memoir, The Ride of a Lifetime. And in it, he discusses how they almost bought Twitter, and will tell you what happened, why that deal didn't work out, and see if you agree.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to rumors. Let's talk Amanda Seales.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Amanda Seales was out at trying to go to a Black Emmys party that she was invited to by Jesse Williams. And when she got to the door, they told her that she was not on the list. Now, the problem that she really has is that this was a Black Emmys party, and it was a white woman at the door named Kiara who was telling her that she could not get in. Listen to what she had to say on her story.
This is just to remind y'all that, like, it really doesn't matter, like, how hard you work or how good of a person you are. Like, you just gonna be in some bullshit. Like, the fact that, like, I literally was humiliated just now because four security guards
were asked to come and remove me from a party that is supposed to honor black people at the Emmys. And it was a white woman named Kiara who made it her business to do this. It's just, I'm not gonna cry though.
I got so many questions. Why didn't Seals just text Jesse Williams and say I'm outside? Or why she didn't hit Jesse and say I'm in the party, but they give me problems? I also want to know, was it Jesse's party? Because if it wasn't Jesse's party, then Jesse shouldn't be inviting people to other folks' party. And my final question, is white women named Kiara?
Yeah.
That was your final question?
Wow.
And you know what? I don't know what happened, but she did eventually get into the party. So while she's in there.
She got in.
But then security came and removed her from the party.
Oh.
Was it Jesse's party?
I don't know if it was his party. It's a Black Emmys party.
Yeah, because if it's not Jesse's party.
Hollywood Emmys party.
Yeah, he shouldn't be inviting people to other folks' party. That's always a recipe for disaster.
But she did say that other people were walking up and getting in and weren't on the list. And
so nobody
seen
her. They
were adding people's
knew?
Names to the list and everything.
When you go to those parties, somebody that I'm sure knew her.
She said a lot of people knew her. People were walking up like, oh, what's the problem? What's going on? Like, are you good?
In a situation like that, you hit the person who invited you to the party, though. You're like, yo,
maybe
Jesse.
Maybe she did and maybe he didn't respond. Who knows? Well,
that's the worst. By the way,
I'm at the door.
My God. And then they just stopped responding. Lord have mercy. Not talking to you no more. I'm blocking your number.
All right. Now let's talk about
not talking to you no more.
Something that happened with Miley Cyrus at the iHeart Festival in Vegas.
Some more stuff happened?
Well, this is something y'all might have not have known.
What?
A man got arrested because he had been stalking her, and he was sending all kinds of crazy tweets to her the week before the iHeart Festival, saying that he was going to meet up with her in Vegas. He wanted to impregnate her.
Well,
now, apparently, Miley Cyrus' security team actually gave out pictures of the guy all over before she performed.
What did the guy look like?
David Rumsey is his name. And
kind of like Charlamagne.
The security team.
He definitely wasn't backstage, by the way.
Actually, they did find him and arrest him.
Where?
In Vegas.
At the iHeart Festival?
Yes.
Backstage?
I don't know if he was backstage. He was in the audience.
Oh, exactly.
So, but they did give out his picture because they didn't know if he was going to manage to, you know, somehow get in somewhere.
That's why
so
they were clearing the hallways.
So that might be why security was doing that.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then her manager lied to us because her manager said his security didn't clear the hallway.
That is true.
Remember that?
Yeah. Well, no, they're saying that what they did was the security team gave out pictures so everybody could be on watch for this man. And then they did actually find him and they did actually arrest him and he was in the audience.
Kind of resembles you, Charlamagne.
Yeah, a white guy with a beard resembles me. Yeah, sure. He actually looks more like you, to be honest with you. He looks like a 40-year-old DJ Envy.
All right. But yeah, that's a scary thing to have somebody stalking you. Trust me. I'm sure we all know about that. All right,
so
now.
So you need to start clearing the sidewalk when you walk down the sidewalk. Here at the radio station. When you pull up out your car.
Clear the sidewalk.
All right, nobody on the sidewalk.
All right, now let's talk about the woman who inspired the movie Hustlers, Jennifer Lopez's character in that movie. And now she is really going hard because I've been hearing about this for quite some time, but now Samantha Barbash has just had her legal team fire off a letter to the studio behind the movie Hustlers, which is a hit, and she wants them to pay for the use of her likeness, her personality, her biography, and her identity in connection with the promotion of the film. They said that she rejected all offers to be included in the film and that it was a flagrant violation of her rights. She said the studio lowballed her, never made a deal with her while the movie was in production, and they wanted her to sign away her rights. She declined to do that, so now she wants some money.
So they just stole her story?
I guess so.
Yikes.
Here's what she said.
It's about my life. They pretty much basically stole my story. I wouldn't sign my rights away. J-Lo doesn't work for free. Why would I? I'm a businesswoman.
How did they get to make a movie without you signing off on it, though?
You tell me, it's Hollywood. J-Lo portrayed me, so she didn't even reach out to the woman that she's portraying.
You never heard from J-Lo?
Not J-Lo herself, no. The producer hit up my lawyer.
Okay.
But it was a joke. I don't even want to embarrass them of what they thought. Put it this way, I have Hermes bags that cost more than they wanted to give me.
Talk that ish.
Now, I haven't seen Hustlers yet. Did she actually play that woman? Is her name?
It's inspired by that woman, so I don't know. I haven't seen it yet either, which I'm very mad at. I need to make some time.
If it don't say that anywhere in the movie and they don't use her name or anything, I mean, I don't see how she can prove that.
But if you say it's inspired
her.
By.
But if it was inspired by.
Because it is inspired by a true story.
But that's what I said. Did they say that in the movie? Does it say, like, inspired by, you know?
It says inspired by a true story, but I don't know if they say it's her true story.
Got you.
So it is inspired by a true story, and, you know, they say it's these real women that were hustling these Wall Street men.
Yeah, I don't know how she proves that, but I mean, yo, if you can get your money, get your money.
All right, now let's talk about Bob Iger, Disney's CEO. He has a new memoir, The Ride of a Lifetime, and he talks about why they were going to buy Twitter and then decided not to. He said, the troubles were greater than I wanted to take on, greater than I thought it was responsible for us to take on. He goes on to say that he said, I like looking at my Twitter newsfeed because I want to follow 15, 20 different subjects. Then you turn and look at your notifications and you're immediately saying, why am I doing this? Why do I endure this pain? He goes on to say that the nastiness is extraordinary on Twitter. So he just didn't think it would be responsible of them. He said, like a lot of these platforms, they have a lot, the ability to do a lot of good in our world. They also have an ability to do a lot of bad. I didn't want to take that on.
We're all in verbally abusive relationships with our smartphones and social media. I haven't looked at my Twitter comments in months, and I feel so good about that.
All right, now let's talk about New Jack City. There is a reboot in the works.
No, fart on this idea, please. Please get my farts ready. Ask Cass.
And that is going to be done with Snowfall's Malcolm M. Mays writing. So that's who's planning to do that. And they're saying that the original movie, you know, was back in, when was that movie? It took place in the 80s, but it was in 1991.
Yeah, 91.
That movie came out. And that made an estimated, you know how much it made? $8 million back in the day.
Listen,
in the theaters. Really? But now it's grossed close to $48 million. By the way, no, it was made for $8 million, and then it's gross $48 million.
Classic, wow. Classic movie, but fart on the idea of a reboot. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be dope.
No, man. First of all, it's so many. I hate to say this, but it's so many new drug stories you could do. Like, there's so many different kingpins across the world and the country that you could do, especially in the inner cities. Like, there's other stories to be told.
They don't have a director yet, but they are going to be using the film's original producer, Doug McHenry, and they're also using Bill Gerber, who did A Star Is Born, to produce.
What does Ice-T and Wesley Snipes think about this? Everything don't need a reboot, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like New Jack City is a classic as is. And plus, for the time, that whole New Jack Swing era with the music and everything, like, nah, leave New Jack City alone.
All right, we shall see.
Could be dope.
No, leave that alone.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I'm excited to see Joker that comes out. It comes out this weekend or next weekend? I want to see Joker.
I do want to see the Joker.
That looks pretty good.
I'm not big on DC, but I've always liked the Joker character.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I actually got invited to a screening of that.
Really?
Yes.
All right, well, let's get, when we come back, front page news, what we talking about, Yee?
We'll talk about remember we were talking yesterday, yesterday was the Donkey of the Day you did, right, about the six-year-old who was arrested, fingerprinted.
Yep. Yes.
All right, well, we'll give you an update on what happened to that school resource officer.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, Monday Night Football. The Chicago Bears beat the Redskins 31-15. Now, what else are we talking about, Yeezy?
Well, let's talk about the incident that happened at an Orlando elementary school. The resource officer who arrested 2 6-year-olds in 2 separate incidents was fired yesterday, according to Orlando Police Chief Orlando Rolone. Now, he said that during an afternoon press conference, the department was trying to give the officer at least the benefit of the doubt, and they reviewed the paperwork, the statements, and they said it was clear today when I came into work there was no other remedy than to terminate this officer. So he said he apologizes to the children involved and their families. And that was all after the officer arrested 6-year-old Kaya Roll at the Lucius and Emma Nixon Academy in Orlando. She had a temper tantrum at school. And the reason they identified her was because the family has come forward and identified her.
What was his name?
Her.
Dennis Turner, right?
The police officer?
Yes.
His name is not named in this.
No, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Dennis Turner, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let the record show that the school resource officer was black. And I'm just saying, it's always swift and immediate punishment when the person is black. But when they're white, he's on paid leave while we investigate. But I am glad he got fired.
He should have got fired.
He's
he did it 2 different
sucker.
Times. You can't arrest a 6-year-old.
Listen, he's a certified sucker to do that to his own people. But we do have to note that it is swift and quick punishment when the person is black.
She was arrested, fingerprinted, and she had mugshots taken. Okay, all
he's
because
a certified
she
sucker to do that to his own people.
All right, now let's discuss this. This is crazy that this has not happened prior to this, but the Department of Homeland Security has named white supremacy a domestic terror threat, finally. So that means that white supremacy has been added to the list of domestic terrorism threats, and that is the first time since the creation of that department after 9/11 that they have emphasized that white nationalist domestic terrorism is a threat on par with those that are posed by foreign groups.
So does that mean they're finally going to label the KKK a hate group?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would hope so. That's, you know, white domestic terrorism right there, white supremacy. All right, now let's talk
about... scary, because white men are everywhere.
Let's talk about another situation.
I never feel safe.
The mom of a 5-year-old Bronx girl, I don't know if you guys saw the story, but her dad was suicidal.
I seen this yesterday.
He jumped in front of an oncoming train while holding his 5-year-old daughter.
Lord have mercy.
And fortunately, the daughter is alive. It's a miracle that she survived from everything.
They pulled her from under the train, and she crawled out. She was okay, which is amazing.
Like, that is a blessing from God for real. The mom said she is okay. The cops did present her with toys. They gave her all kinds of things. Really sad situation. The dad was killed, but the daughter did survive.
You never know what people are going through, man. That's why I always, you know, I'm such a big proponent of mental health. Because people just be redistributing that pain and hurt people, and he tried to hurt himself and his daughter.
I
hate to say it, but when you're in those situations, I would rather you just off yourself. Like, why you always got to take somebody with you?
Not your little 5-year-old.
Word is bond.
And it was fortunate they were two good Samaritans. They jumped onto the tracks
and pulled her right
as
out.
A little girl crawled out from under the train, and they helped her get to safety. Imagine what kind of effect that's going to have on her later in life.
I also would like to know, you know, what steps did that man take before he got to that point? Like, did he reach out to somebody? Did he try to talk to somebody?
Well, he was on the phone. They said he got off the phone, hung up the phone heavy, and then they said he just jumped.
I'm just talking about in life, period.
Oh, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like what got him to that point? Did he try to intervene on himself at any point prior to that? Did anybody see any signs and try to get mm-hmm. him some help, you know?
Very sad, though.
Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, we were talking about this behind the scenes. If you watch the Kardashians, you want to explain a little bit what happened in the scene we're talking about, Yee?
So what happened was that Kourtney and Kim were discussing their daughters, Penelope and Northwest, mm-hmm. and apparently Penelope scratched the nanny in the face.
We have audio, mm-hmm. and then let's play the audio right fast.
He was really upset. She was putting her in the car, and Penelope scratched her face.
If a kid scratches, can you pop the kid in his cool?
No, but you could also say something to her in the moment.
I'm sorry, but if he scratched me for no reason, I'm whipping her ass, and I'll explain to y'all later.
What?
I would have whipped her ass.
You would whoop Penelope's ass if she scratched you? What are you talking about?
Scratch me.
You would whoop my daughter's ass if she touched you?
All right,
and the person that was speaking, that was Corey Gamble, and that is Kris Jenner's boyfriend.
Correct.
Who was saying that he would whoop her ass.
All right, well, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Have you ever hit someone else's child for being disobedient?
Nigga, no. 800-585-1051.
I did it one time.
Whose child did you hit?
Uh-oh.
And how hard did the father hit you after you did that?
Are they aware of this?
Yeah, they're aware of it. This was a long time ago. This is when I was about 20, maybe 22. And this is when I first had my baby, Madison, at the time. So it was, 17 years ago. I was watching my brother, Gia's brother's kids, and they were making a lot of noise. I was like, be quiet. You know, the baby's sleeping. And they wouldn't be quiet, and I popped them on the backside, or I popped them on the back of their hand. And after I did it, I thought about it. I was like, man, I just popped somebody else's kid. But it...
Her daddy should have whipped your ass.
I mean, I had to have the conversation with him after. I was like, yo, I popped him for this reason, this, that, and the other. You know, I told him to stop, and they kept doing it.
I don't hit my kids, so I damn sure not hit nobody
else. I felt
that.
You don't pop your daughter?
No. I popped my daughter. My daughter's 11. I might have popped her when she was 2, and I felt so stupid after I did it. Like, it feels so primitive and just so, like, dumb to hit your children. Like, we don't have to raise our kids the way that we were raised.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, I just feel like you look back on it, that was just abuse by our parents.
Not necessarily.
The extension cords.
Some of it was warranted.
The torture of going to pick switches.
Bro, you try to burn down your pop's trailer.
So I should get beat with an extension cord and made to take a bath? I was a kid. Kids don't know no better.
Yes.
Why are you stooping to that level? Why are you stooping to that level of thinking by beating them? Like that. By the way, that's all white people used to do. White men used to do the slaves. You just want to treat your kids like a slave? You just want to beat your kids? Like, that's just beat them into submission. Now, listen.
Nobody said beat into submission, but
just beat them, period.
There's sometimes where you might need a good yoking up.
No, I think if you're intelligent enough as an adult, you can have a conversation with a child. I don't believe in beating. I grew up on beatings. That's a cycle I want to break. Personally,
my mother.
I'm damn sure not hitting nobody else.
My mother used to yoke me up, and it made me correct. It made sure I knew that if I did something wrong, I was gonna get yoked up. If my grandmother was gonna pop me.
Yeah, but they ain't
it was
no
gonna
better.
Be a problem.
Maybe our parents just didn't know any other way. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they was just redistributing the pain that the white man put on them.
I see a lot of kids running around that don't get popped that needs to get popped.
And I see a lot of kids that don't get beatings that just get stern talking to, and they just fine. I don't think that you have to necessarily beat your kids. But that's if you want to beat your kids, cool. But I know one thing. I ain't beating nobody else's kids.
Well, yeah.
Right? That's the moral of the story.
You know, there were times in school, right, where some teachers had permission to hit people's kids.
Yeah, I used to get paddled all the time.
I definitely got hit with a ruler in school.
A ruler.
So that's somebody else hitting kids.
I had a principal who his name was Mr. Barnett. He used to have a paddle, and he used to have holes in his paddle. So when he swung, the air wouldn't stop. It's a whoo! Ooh, and he was a big old boss hog looking white man.
Well, you needed it. Look at how you are now.
Listen,
you should have got hit more.
Well, whatever.
Anyway,
I think beating is whack. And I'm definitely not putting my hands on nobody else.
800-585-1051. Have you ever hit someone else's child for being disobedient?
Lord have mercy. Who are you abusers?
All
I need to hear from y'all this
Call
morning.
Us up right now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, If you watch the Kardashians, this is what happened, and then we'll explain it. Let's play the audio.
He was really upset. She was putting her in the car, and Penelope scratched her face.
If a kid scratches, can you pop the kid in his cool?
No, but you could also say something to her in the moment.
I'm sorry, but if he scratched me for no reason, I'm whipping her ass, and I'll explain to y'all later.
What?
I would whip her ass.
You would whip Penelope's ass if she scratched you? What are you talking about?
Scratch me.
You would whip my daughter's ass if she touched you?
Now you explain what they're talking about.
I would, but I'm chewing something right now.
Come on, you get it out your mouth.
Okay, huh? I was eating ginger chew.
Nice.
And you caught me off guard. But yes, we're talking about Corey Gamble, that's Kris Jenner's boyfriend, said that if Penelope, who is Kourtney Kardashian's daughter, scratched him in the face, he would whip her ass.
Right. Now, I actually hit my niece when I was younger. I didn't know no better. I popped her on the hand, and I was wrong for it. I felt funny for it. She was acting up, and I popped her. And I had a conversation with her dad. And, you know, we talked about it. It was no big problem.
Was he mad?
No, he wasn't mad at all. That like my grandmother used to hit. I remember my grandmother beating me for spraying roach spray on the stove just so I could see the flames go up.
That's your grandma, though. Your grandma is your big mama. You know what I'm saying? Your grandma is the person who used to beat your parents. So being that you came from her chairing, okay, she has the right to put her hands on you.
She
grandma
did.
Really might be the only person.
And I sprayed the roach spray, and then I said something to grandma, like, don't hit me. And then when my dad got there,
bang.
My dad beat me for talking to his mother like that.
Yeah, exactly. See, listen, grandma and granddaddy might be the only person that have the rights to do that, but, I mean, me personally...
He's kind of like a granddaddy, though.
Who?
What's his name, Yee?
Corey Gamble?
Yeah, he's kind of like a grandfather.
No, he's not. Why is he a grandfather?
He's the grandfather.
Oh, he's the step-grandfather. No,
yeah.
but he's not
but
by
not
blood.
Married.
He's not by blood. The moral of the story is I don't beat my children. I don't beat my children because I just don't see the need. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore... I think that you could just have a conversation with kids, but I'm definitely not putting my hands on nobody else, child. Like, if you put your hands on somebody else, child, then me and you got smoke immediately. There is never a reason for you to put hands on my children. And what if I don't beat my kids, but you hit my kids?
Listen,
Think about that. What if I don't hit my kids, but my kids are at your house, and then they get hit by you, an adult? Now me and you got a fade to catch.
Well, I've never ever hit anybody else's kids either. I have 3 godchildren. I'm the number one babysitter. Actually, I feel like when I'm babysitting, my responsibility is just to spoil other people's kids.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
That's what you should do.
That's all I do.
As a godparent.
They always like, okay, I'm going to see Angela, so I already know what we're going to do. We're going to go shopping. We're going to go buy some new toys. We're going to get ice cream.
Grandma hit me with an ashtray one time. I did stupid stuff. I deserved it, though. I deserved it.
Listen, we all...
It fixed me, straightened me right up.
No, it didn't.
So it's okay for us to hit you?
No, it didn't. Listen, we all got beaten when we were kids. I got beaten with extension cords. My dad used to beat me with an extension cord, made me go take a bath. I used to have to go pick the switch. I had them little wooden utensils on the freaking kitchen wall. My mama would hit me with those. But guess what? If we being honest, all of that was just abuse. And the truth to the matter is, all our parents was doing was the best they could. They were probably young parents at the time. That's the only way they knew how to discipline was through physical punishment. We know better in this generation. We don't got to beat our kids. And we damn sure shouldn't be putting our hands on nobody else's.
Hello, who's this?
Marita.
Hey, Marita. You ever had to put your hands on somebody else's kids?
I did. I was watching my niece, and she was messing with the socket in the wall. And I told her, and I actually went and got her and pulled her back, like, twice. And then she put her mouth on it. And I popped her in her hand, and I told my sister. And I did feel bad, but I agree with Charlamagne, and I agree with you. Like, some kids you can talk to.
Right.
And, you know, they'll listen. But some kids... I think you got to pop them every now and then.
But
that's what the white man used to think about slaves, too.
Even
some of
that,
these slaves you got to beat.
Like, even at it with a two-year-old. Like, a two-year-old you can't have a conversation with, don't put your finger in the electric socket. But if you pop their hand, they think about, you know what? If I go near this electric socket, it's going to hurt. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, but you're not telling them, you're not explaining to them what could happen if they actually put their hand in the electric socket. I tell my daughter, you know, if you put your hand in that, you're going to die. You're not going to be here with us no more. Well, I would rather her...
So you told that to your 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old?
She's one. That's why you got the plugs in the socket to put the socket.
Obviously, this lady...
You're not listening to my point, though. You're not teaching them that the socket is what actually can kill them. You're teaching them to be scared of you. When the reality is, you'd be teaching them that, no, the socket is what can kill you.
Right, but 1.5, they're not thinking about, wow, this socket. They're thinking, if I go near this socket, I'm going to get popped. I'm not going near that socket. That's how kids think.
Well, you should have put the goddamn things in the socket. You should have child-proofed the sockets, damn it.
Kendra!
Hey, Yeah.
Good morning, Kendra. You ever hit somebody else's kid?
Yes, I have.
Why?
Uh-oh.
I was actually inside the grocery store, and the little white kid, I'm sorry, but y'all been on this race thing all morning, so I'm going to say it too.
All morning? Oh. Now you
all our life.
Whooping their kid. See, now you'll never see no black kids take no gun to school because we whip our kids. But them little white kids, they out of control.
Come on, Kendra.
Now, Kendra, I'm pushing back on that.
Come on, Kendra.
I used to tell on a lot of black kids in school because we used to get a $250 reward when they used to have guns. I was 6'9 in high school.
You know, but look, though, if the little 6-year-old would have jacked out in school, they probably would have took her to McDonald's and got her a Happy Meal. She wouldn't have been arrested.
Well, now, what happened, Kendra? Who you hit?
All right, so, look, I'm in the Walmart. The little kid calls me the B word. So I give his mom a chance to reprimand him, you know, like, hey, you don't do that. That's disrespectful. So he calls me the B word again. He was like, bitch, hurry up. And I popped him in his mouth. You got me up.
Hey, Kendra.
Oh, my gosh.
What does Kendra, you can't walk around. That's
Kendra,
abuse.
Kendra. Her mama should have dragged your ass
and then locked you up. You can't just be hitting kids you don't know. You don't even know this kid.
Hey, Robert, if he had Tourette's, I gave his mom a chance.
Robert, if he had Tourette's and he had a problem and he would just be splurting out, bitch, so you just popped the kid in the mouth.
Nah, come on now. See, then I would have felt bad. But see, she didn't say none of that. She was just like, yeah, hurry up. I'm just like stood by her son's side. So she loved him.
What did the mama do to you after you hit the child?
Nothing. She just kind of looked at me like, I can't believe you hit my son. And I just looked at her. I was like, yo, you got a problem? I said, we can go out to the parking lot.
Boy, y'all some brave souls.
Because then you was about to fight the mom.
If that lady would have pulled out a gun and shot you right there, she'd have been in the right because the story would have been a woman hits somebody's child in the store.
Not even that. Crazy black woman.
Yeah, crazy black woman hits a white little kid in the store. A white woman, she guns it down.
Kendra, where you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey, bitch, hurry up and get off my phone.
My goodness. 800, she gonna F you up. 800-585-1051. Have you ever hit somebody else's kids? Call us now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about the Kardashian show. Let's play a little snippet of what happened.
He was really upset. She was putting her in the car, and Penelope scratched her face.
If a kid scratches, can you pop the kid in his cool?
No, but you could also say something to her in the moment.
I'm sorry, but if he scratched me for no reason, I'm whipping her ass, and I'll explain to y'all later.
What?
I would whip her ass.
You would whip Penelope's ass if she scratched you? What are you talking about?
Scratched me
in
my face.
You would whip my daughter's ass if she touched you?
So you break down what happened.
Yeah, so Corey Gamble, who is Kris Jenner's boyfriend, says that if Penelope would scratch him in the face, he would whoop her ass.
All right, so we're asking 800-585-1051. Have you ever hit somebody else's kid, and would you mind if somebody else hit your kid? Well, see, that's the reason why nobody watches my kids but immediate family, because I don't want those problems. My dad, my mother, all day, they do, hey, look, if they want to pop my kids for whatever, that's fine.
That's fine.
That's okay. Mom and daddy. It is who it is. There's nothing I can say anyway. What they gonna do? My pops would pop me at this age.
Listen, because I don't beat my kids. You know what I'm saying? So I guess those are rules that you have to tell your immediate family when you're at their crib. Like, I don't beat my kids, so you don't put your hand on my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may have raised me a certain way, but I don't want my kid raised in that way.
Hello, Sandra.
Hey.
Is it okay to discipline somebody else's child?
Hey, I think it's perfectly fine. I have 2 children, and I have a boyfriend that's helping me raise them. And he's there. He's playing daddy. He does everything with them. And when my 6-year-old gets out of line, it's perfectly fine for him to discipline them.
I don't like that, especially being that you got your little boyfriend putting your hands on your children, because you don't know what kind of trauma your boyfriend might have. Your boyfriend might be going through something, and sometimes he might be mad and take it out on the kids.
Hey, I mean, everything is done with me present. I think that if it's, you know, if I'm there and, you know, if he's not beating him and hitting him with anger, I think it's perfectly fine.
What if the father, right, what if his girlfriend would hit your kid?
Well, I guess I'm a little different because our dynamic is a little different. My boyfriend communicates directly with my son's father. And when, you know, we share our custody of him. So if, you know, he gets out of line and he gets a pop, that's fine. It's, as long as it's not like a beating or, you know, I'm just lashing you. If you have to pop him on his hand or, you know, pop him on his butt with, with your hand, I think it's perfectly fine.
Thank you, Mama. Rodney.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think about hitting somebody else's kids, bro?
I think it depends on the situation. I grew up in a large apartment complex here in Naptown, and everybody knew each other. So if somebody else's parents seen you being unruly, it was kind of common for them to whoop you, take you home to your parent, tell them what you done, and you're going to get another whooping.
Okay. You sound out of breath right now.
Yeah, you sound like you just got a beat.
Now, Roddy sound like
you sound like you just got a beat, and then you're trying to explain it to us.
I ain't mean to do it. I ain't mean to not take the trash out. I told him I was going to take the trash out.
Hello, Troy.
What's going on?
What's up, bro? What do you think about hitting somebody else's kids?
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I got a situation right now I'm going through. Now I'm dating a girl. She's got a 3-year-old son, and I mean that this kid is, like, don't listen. So, you know what I'm saying? You have to, you know, do something. You know, yelling don't really get it. Like, you don't really understand. I have no idea what to do. So, I mean, I oppose to it because I have my own kid, and I don't want nobody hitting my kid because, you know what I'm saying, I go pull up on somebody, you know what I mean? But I have no idea what to do. I don't agree with it, but, I mean, something got to be done, and I don't know what to do.
The craziest thing is that we're forgetting that they are kids. Like, you're talking about 3-year-old kids. Of course they don't know. Of course they not going to listen. Like, we got to understand that kids are going to be kids. Like, you can't beat them and take all of they innocence out of them. They're kids.
All right, so how do you correct it?
Sit them down and have a conversation? I don't know about you. My little girls are smart. I got a 4-year-old at the house, a 1-year-old. My daughter's 11. They always been smart. Sit them down and have a conversation with them. Tell them right from wrong. Explain things to them. Talk to them like an adult.
All
right,
bet.
I mean, that's just my logic.
Sometimes a kid need to get popped. That's just my opinion.
Man, you pop dogs. You know what I'm saying?
I don't agree with, you know what I'm saying, anybody hit my kid, because I'm telling you, like, you know, like, let me discipline my kid. I mean, I'll do that, you know what I'm saying, for myself, but I mean, as far as others, I mean, you know, sit them down, like, you know, sometimes it's going one ear and not the other.
Hey, my kids are pretty good, and they've all got popped once or twice before, so it is what it is. Thank you, brother.
And that's the other thing people don't take into consideration. Sometimes you out and about in America, and life is kicking your ass all day, and then you come home, and you find out your kids did something wrong, and you take out that pain on them. You know what I'm saying? I do agree it takes a village, but I just think beating children is whack, and beating other people's kids is super, super whack. So imagine
there's a difference between beating and popping.
We got beatings.
Yeah,
we got beaten.
My kids ain't getting no, well, Logan.
I got extension cords, no switches, the rubber off the tires.
That's abuse, bro.
That's most black households. What are you talking about?
I ain't get abused.
Well, I don't want nobody doing anything like that to my children. Because like I said, imagine the stuff you go through on a daily basis, right? Now imagine the stuff somebody else goes through on a daily basis, and you got your kids at day house, and they mad at something that happened in their life, and they take that out on your children. Man, please. No way, Jose.
Well, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Jeannie Mai, and she was on Big Boy's Neighborhood, and she talked about her responsibilities as far as dating Jeezy and learning about his background and for him to learn about her background, because it's an interracial relationship.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Isn't it almost cuffing season? Is it fall cuffing season?
So that's what they say.
So songs like Ella Mae Booed Up, you know what I'm saying? Those songs about to like make a little light comeback on people's playlists.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I mean? It's still a little warm, though. Still a little warm.
Y'all still a little musky, depending on what day it is. Yesterday was 90 degrees. There's a little musk in the streets, just a little.
A little musk out there?
A little musk.
My goodness.
A little sweat on the forehead.
All right. Well, what are we talking about in the rumors?
Well, since it is cuffing season, we'll be talking about this couple that recently came out as cuffed up together, and we'll tell you what they're saying because they're in an interracial relationship.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that when we come back. And more don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm in a good mood. Are you guys in a good mood?
I'm always in a good mood.
I'm a little tired.
Hey, I'm in a good mood. All right. Well, let's get to these rumors. Let's talk Jeannie Mai.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
So Jeannie Mai and her co-host from The Real were on Big Boy's Neighborhood Radio Show, and they were talking about her dating Jeezy, and she was opening up about being in an interracial relationship and how important it is to understand each other's culture.
When you look at the word interracial, you should really look at it like interresponsible. It is a responsibility when you date outside your race to learn about that culture, because not everybody's experience is the same. When he steps into my house, he takes off his shoes. He knows how Vietnamese people do it. When I met him, I was like, I want to go to Hawkinsville. Show me like exactly this yellow house that you grew up in, and what kind of, how'd you start your business? How'd you understand how to make a dollar?
Yeah, that's nice. That's what you should do.
Just say you in love, Jeannie. Right?
Yeah, and you know what she said?
That's what you do when you all in. You went to Hawkinsville. You ain't even go to Atlanta. He's like, take me to Hawkinsville. I want to go to auntie house.
She also said that she's learning what it means to feel safe. When you meet a man who is vulnerable enough to make you feel safe, it's your job to protect and cherish them, or let them go where they find the right woman who's ready for that. She said, otherwise we go through life and we have relationships, we get misled, we get cheated on, we get all these things that happen, and that the person who was willing to be safe is now recoiled and doesn't want to give back.
Jeannie Mai went to Jeezy's auntie house in Hawkinsville. She want to see where he used to hide them yams at. Jeezy's aunt is nuts, by the way.
All right.
I don't know. Like, I mean, have you ever met Jeezy's aunt?
Mm-mm.
The one from Hawkinsville, the one that you rap about all the time?
No, no.
Lord have mercy. Movie.
Really?
Man.
All right, now let's talk about Remy Ma and Ebony K. Williams on State of the Culture. You know, Ebony K. Williams is the newest addition to the show.
I didn't know that, so she's on the show every day now?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
She's on the show, and the two of them got into a bit of a, I don't know, I guess a debate about snitching and proper protocol.
So if you're going to make it, this is what I would say. Privately as possible, if possible. Limit the scope of your testimony and be real specific about what you're getting in exchange directly. Quid pro quo. I'm going to give you this amount of names with this much involvement and this much eyewitness testimony in exchange for, in a perfect world, immunity, no time, time served. You really should not be trying to go back into gym pop after you have given that type of cooperation.
Can I get off of this couch while she's giving people advice and tips on how to snitch? I feel like how y'all felt with Candace Owens. That's how I feel like I do not belong on this couch right now.
Two different sides.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, and listen, Ebony is a lawyer, so yes, she has to deal with those things at times.
Two different sides.
Ebony's not wrong, and neither is Remy. It's just different perspectives. Ebony's speaking from an attorney standpoint for someone who decided to be an informant, and Remy is saying, F all that snitching stuff, period. Don't commit crimes.
I come from a different place.
Which
right.
is both, they're both correct.
Now, Ebony K. Williams took to Twitter and said, it's all good. We both have passion about the issue. We leave it all on the set. I was playing with Remy's sweet baby afterwards. So people thought they weren't getting along. The whole point is for them to have different viewpoints and to come from
That's
different
fine.
Places.
Absolutely.
I understand where both of them are coming from. Ebony's simply coming from the standpoint of, if you decide to snitch, because if you watch the whole clip, she's like, she don't recommend that. But if you do decide to snitch, this is what you should do.
Make sure you get what you're supposed to get.
And Remy's like, right. F all of that. Don't commit crimes if you're going to snitch. But here's the thing about that. Some of the most realest, so-called, toughest gangster killers have snitched.
Absolutely.
A lot of mobsters.
Like, yes. It happens.
People you know have snitched. In real life. Yeah. Everybody knows somebody who snitched on somebody. All right.
Yeah.
Here's another person who snitched. Tekashi 6ix9ine's driver. They're saying that he turned into a police informant after he got arrested by ICE. Jorge Rivera became a police informant after he got arrested, and when asked if he spoke to law enforcement about cooperating, he just replied, yes, and he actually talked about it. Here, listen.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, you know Tekashi 6ix9ine, the rapper, the singer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they just kidnap it. We get pulled over, right, by uh-huh. two guys with guns, and they just take it out from the car.
Take him?
Yes.
Where this happened?
Yeah, right here on the corner.
Who are you talking to?
Come on and trying to shoot me, so I back it up and I come this way.
Okay, show me where it happened.
That was no cop he was talking to.
Well, listen, they have audio.
What had happened, man?
But,
that was no damn cop.
He was in court and he told the court that he's been an informant since July of 2018, and basically, imagine
so
how much.
So all the time he was driving, he was an informant.
So yeah, so imagine.
Yikes.
Imagine your driver, because the driver is the person that knows everything.
Everything.
They're with you. They see everything that's going on. They know who's in the car. They hear your phone conversation.
He never had a chance in hell.
Yeah, man. It's good that you really can't understand the driver.
He never had a chance in hell.
But I'm saying it's good that you really can't understand what he's saying.
And they also had a camera installed in the car, too, that was recording.
For real?
Yo, they never had a chance.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish I cared.
This is going crazy.
Sheesh.
Now, Charlie Puth has tweeted, and he has since deleted this message, but he said, if 6ix9ine gets out and is able to make another record, I'll produce it for free.
Who's Charlie Puth?
That's my guy. He's from Jersey.
Yeah.
Producer.
He's a white, he's actually an artist. Mm.
Didn't he have that huge song with, was it with Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah. Yep.
He was up here one day. Mm-hmm. He came in the studio. We was chopping it up for a little bit.
He has since deleted that tweet, though. Mm.
Why, he got killed?
I don't know. I can imagine. I don't even know what made him even say that. If 6ix9ine gets out and is able to make another record, I'll produce it for free just to tweet that out.
I definitely said something worse if 6ix9ine got out.
What'd you say?
I'm not repeating.
What'd you say? I'm curious.
Worse than you'll produce a record for him?
Yes. You don't remember, Ye? What'd you say?
I'm not repeating.
I feel like I remember something.
I'm not repeating.
Do we have that audio?
Come on, John. You have every audio, but you don't have that audio.
I'm not repeating it.
So what's going to happen if he does get out?
I was actually
while he's recording the record, I was
so confident that he wasn't coming home that I said something wild that I won't repeat.
But you got to back it up. You got to be a man of your word.
Because technically he didn't get out. He did a whole year and he's snitching. You know what I'm saying?
He getting out though.
I don't think he's getting out. I think he's going to do like 2 to 3.
All right.
You think he's going to get out with Time, sir?
Is there another wager you want to make?
Absolutely.
Damn.
He talking too much not to get out for Time, sir.
Yeah, but he talking about stuff that ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
What did he say?
If Tekashi 6ix9ine beats this case, I'll suck his dick.
Wow.
That's crazy that y'all got
everybody
that so
wins.
Yo.
He said it was gay. So what?
So when Tekashi gets out, we know what his first stop is going to be.
I talk too much, you know? Sometimes I just run off at the mouth and just say things and, you know.
I told you, it would be great if Charlie Puth records a song while you do what you're supposed to do and they fulfill both best
at
the same time.
That would be amazing.
Knock it off, everybody.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your
that tweet.
Rumor report.
Jeez. You're kinky.
This show is wild.
We wild. Jeez, all right. Well, who you giving that we know who you giving the donkey to,
listen,
but
we need Nancy Pelosi to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with her. Okay?
It's congregation, man. Congregation.
What
you
did
been
I
here
say?
10 years.
What did I say?
Never mind. All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking Jeannie Mai and Jeezy. It's a topic that actually came out of their relationship. You want to explain a little bit, Yee?
Yes, Jeannie Mai was talking to Big Boy about being in an interracial relationship and how important it is to know each other's backgrounds.
When you look at the word interracial, you should really look at it like interresponsible. It is a responsibility when you date outside your race to learn about that culture, because not everybody's experience is the same. When he steps into my house, he takes off his shoes. He knows how Vietnamese people do it. When I met him, I was like, I want to go to Hawkinsville. Show me like exactly this yellow house that you grew up in, and what kind of, how'd you start your business? How'd you understand how to make a dollar?
So 800-585-1051. Have you been in an interracial relationship? Now, I know your pops is Asian and your mom is African-American.
Yes, indeed.
Now, how did that work out? Because your pops is hilarious. He goes over the top, and I know for some it might be like, oh, this is a little too much.
Right. I think sometimes it is outside forces that can ruin people's relationships, especially, those interracial relationships. It could be family members that don't approve of you dating outside your race. It could be pressure from other people. You get looks when you walk down the block of people that have issues. They say things. All kinds of things happen. So it's not an easy situation, even in this day and age.
I mean, I've never been in an interracial relationship. I've smashed other races, you know what I'm saying? But usually when you have sex with other races, they want to know about our culture, you know what I'm saying? They want to know about blackness and hip-hop. You know what I mean? Like, they're not... I'm sure it's different if you're actually dating one.
Yeah.
Dating another race.
In my family, we grew up because, celebrating Chinese New Year, and then even going to a funeral or a wedding is culturally a very different thing. When you go, like, just there's all kinds of rituals that you partake in.
Yeah.
And so that's something that you learn about, Buddhism, all kinds of things that you have to learn about if you're dating somebody, even of a different religion.
Yeah, for me, Gia is Jamaican, Puerto Rican, and Asian.
What?
Yes. So it was always confusing. Like, some days it's jerk chicken, next days is Asian food.
How do you think she feel about you? You Dominican?
I'm not Dominican,
Dominican,
man.
Black, and what else?
Nothing. I'm just
ain't
all
you
black.
Something else?
No, I'm not. I'm all black. So it was never a problem in that because, I mean, Gia is black. She's Jamaican and Asian. You know what I mean? It was never a problem in my relationship.
But my dad was the only Asian person in my whole entire neighborhood growing up. And I never met any other like Asian kids other than my family members until I got into high school, probably.
Yeah, Gia's Asian part of the family is kind of like she doesn't really know, so it's more the Jamaican and Spanish side. So
right,
and then she's from Brooklyn, so I don't know, Brooklyn, everybody, but we didn't think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, especially being half Asian, you get a lot of people making jokes about, you know, my last name or saying all kinds of racist things, but they think it's okay. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. Rick.
Yes, it's me.
Hey, how are you, Rick?
Hey, Rick, how you doing, Rick?
Good, man, I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. We're talking about being in an interracial relationship.
Yes, sir. Man, now, I had this,
go ahead.
I had this Moroccan girl, man. Like, earlier in our stages in a relationship, like, she couldn't bring me home. Her dad would take them during the summertime and try to have them go get married, like, her and her sister. And, like, at the time, like I didn't know how serious it was because I was kind of ignorant to their culture. You know what I mean? Like, I was ignorant. So, like, her sister actually came back and was married. Seen it on Facebook. I'm like, wow. But, like, it's crazy. Like, cause they don't play that. Like, her dad, she told me if her dad was to find out, like, he would shun her.
Mm-hmm.
He don't know, like, what he's capable of doing. Like, right. Different things like that.
There's people whose families will cut them off, right, where they won't get any money and nothing from their family members. Get cut out the will and all of that just because they're dating outside their race.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, I'm calling anonymously. I am in an interracial relationship with my partner. But my parents are Puerto Rican and my boyfriend at the time was black. And even throughout high school, having black friends or a black boyfriend was a real issue. They weren't allowed in my house.
Wow.
I had friends chased out of the house for being black.
Oh my gosh.
That's happened to a lot of my friends too, being chased out of the house, dating a Spanish woman or even a white woman.
Well, they weren't that black because they just shot at them.
it's been pretty terrible. I mean, I have a daughter and she's biracial. And in the beginning, even my mother, she even told me when my daughter was about 7 months old, like, I didn't think I was going to love your daughter because she was black.
Damn.
It was pretty crazy. And she was in the delivery room, which kind of made me feel like, well, so while I'm like having this baby, you're already thinking my kid is less than.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it was really crazy. And it definitely had a risk in the relationship, trying to kind of be the middleman, trying to not let my partner at the time feel like, you know, that this racism was, like, you know, overtly real.
I'm sure he knew. You just like black man dingo, and your mom can understand.
No, it's true. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you, mama.
Thank you. All right.
All right, 800-585-1051. We're talking about interracial relationships. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We're talking about interracial relationships. Now, Charlamagne, have you ever dated a woman outside of your race?
Nah, I've only slept with women outside of my race. You know, a couple white girls, Spanish girl. I never dated.
Now, what would your mom say if you brought home a white woman?
I never would do that. I would never do such a thing.
Let's say you fell in love with a white woman and you wanted to...
I know better. I would never
do
that.
What do you mean you know better? You don't know who you fall in love with.
You think they would disown you?
I don't think they would disown me, but I just would never do that. I grew up seeing black love. Like, you know, I grew up with my father and my mother and my aunts and my uncles. So I always wanted a sister.
But let's say
you know what I'm
saying? Fell in love with a white woman.
I don't have hypothetical honky thoughts like that, sir.
Hypothetical what?
Honky thoughts. All right, no honky tonk love over here. No disrespect to people that are in interracial relationships. I'm just letting you know that I have never thought about growing in love with anybody other than a sister.
I don't have issues with it. I guess my whole family is full of interracial relationships. All my aunts and uncles, like, I have just a whole mixture of everything. I have people in my family who are half Chinese, half Italian, half Chinese, half black, like, everything is mixed up in my family.
I do remember when my older cousin got married to a white guy. My older cousin, her name is Tisha. She got married to a white dude named Jerry. And they're still together. And they've been together, got to be well over 30 years. But I do remember vividly everybody being upset about that. Like, people not wanting to come into they got married in the Kingdom Hall. People not wanting to come into Kingdom Hall. People complaining about her marrying a white dude. And I'm going to tell you the irony of that.
What?
She's the only one still married. My parents have gotten divorced. Her parents got divorced before my uncle died. But, like, yes, she's the only one that's still
married. But you got to also understand, you know, that's a long time ago. So, like, for my grandmother has seen what white people have done to her. So she was raised really not to like white people.
Absolutely. I've never been attracted to any other race on that level.
Just to smash, but not to marry.
I have. That's just the truth.
Crazy. Adam.
I hate to fetishize people like that, but it's the truth.
Adam, now you've dated. Are you white or black, Adam?
I'm black.
Okay. Now you have a baby with a white woman?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Where
congratulations.
Where are you from?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you from?
Yeah, I grew up in the South, man.
So wow.
My mother told me not to bring no white girl to her house.
What part of the South are you from?
I'm from North Carolina, bro.
Hey, I'm from South Carolina. See, you already know.
Yeah, I'm from, like, the Wilmington area, right by Myrtle Beach and everything. But, yeah, my significant other, she's white and everything. So it's kind of difficult when I bring her back home and everything because all the black ladies be looking at us all differently, giving us the meme mugs and everything. And up here, because I stay in Wisconsin now, you know, being with her up here, her family doesn't know about black people and stuff because it's a small amount of a black population here. So they don't know how to, you know, integrate with me and everything, you know. And they treat our daughter like, you know, special and everything. They have to call her hair nappy and stuff because they don't know the right texture and stuff like that. Cause it's difficult being, you know, having to go through that and having to explain to people not to see color, but just see people as people and everything.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to raise my daughter like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want her to go through what me and her mother had to go through. People right. are just people. If we see each other as that, then there shouldn't be no issue with interracial couples and everything.
That is very true. God bless you and your honky-tonk love, my brother.
Yo, shut up, man.
What?
Hello, who's this?
Go raise a little Obama.
Sierra.
Tell us about interracial relationships with you.
So, basically, like, for me, like I was saying earlier, I am a product of an interracial relationship, and mm-hmm. so is my fiancé. Both of our mothers are white, and both of our fathers are black.
Okay.
And so, I felt like growing up as a kid, I was never white enough for my white family and never black enough for my black family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you get this. Now that I'm an adult, people always come up to me like, oh, you get the best of both worlds. And I had to pull one of my Caucasian coworkers to the side and let her know, like, I would like you to stop saying that because you don't know what someone goes through. And as a kid, like I said, I always felt like I was never white enough for my white family. They never accepted me. And I always felt like I wasn't black enough for my black family. And I had to break it down and explain to her that, no, that's not the case. I didn't get both the best of both worlds. I actually, you know, feel like I got the worst situation. So, I don't know. I mean...
Yeah.
Listen, man, love at the end of the day.
Okay. Let me ask you, Charlamagne, a question,
yes.
right? Now you live in a nice area, right?
I live in a great area.
Don't ask me this question.
I already know what you're going to ask me. No, don't ask me this question.
Is it mostly Caucasian or mostly black people? I'm just curious.
It's mostly Caucasian, but don't ask me this question.
Now, that means your daughter goes to school with mostly Caucasian young men, correct? So if your daughter fell in love with a Caucasian man.
My daughter's 11. My other daughter
she's
is four.
Around
my
Caucasian
other daughter
men.
Is one.
How would you feel?
Listen, love is love. You know what I mean?
But so you wouldn't have a problem with it?
I would have to really know this person's background. I'm going to tell you why. Because in this neighborhood, when I first moved in 2016.
Correct.
There's a lot of Trump signs.
Okay.
Went up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
so I need to know a lot of the background of the person. I don't have a problem with her dating somebody outside of her race. I would prefer her to marry a black man. That's just my preference.
Okay.
But if she did date a white person, I would really want to know this white man's background. You know what
I'm
saying?
Let's say that
I would
want to
know his
Trump
family's background.
But he's different. He's
nah. No.
He's different.
No, I don't believe that.
He's different.
I don't believe that.
He's not a Trump supporter.
I don't believe that. I got to know why they're Trump supporters. Are you a fiscal Trump supporter? You know what I'm saying? Are you supporting Trump because, you know, is it economy-based? Because, you know, it's about the money? Like, I need to know why. I need to know what this person's beliefs are. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a house divided can't stand. You know what I mean? And my daughter's black.
The house, man.
I'm not even worried about my daughter dating a white guy. My daughter black. A lot of blackness in our house.
Okay.
All right. Between me and my wife, it's a lot of blackness.
Like you said, love is love. If she falls in love with somebody that she goes to school with.
You don't think Tom likes black women?
And you know, listen, Jack and Jill program. All right.
It doesn't matter.
It ain't like she's just around white men all the damn time. Okay.
Right.
It's a lot of blackness around, too.
You don't think Bill is nicer to your daughter all the time?
Who is Bill? All the Bills I know are black.
Oh.
Bill Clinton
is white.
FYI,
he was
my
the first black president.
My mom grew up in Harlem, and then she moved to Flatbush in Brooklyn around all black people. She went to Erasmus.
And she met that one.
So what you saying?
Her and my dad worked in a department store together. That's how they met.
What?
And she married a Chinese guy.
Damn, black dudes must have been horrible back then.
She fell in love, man. All right, we got rumors on the way.
Either that or she got pregnant. I don't know what happened.
Hey, love is love. I'm just telling you what my preference is. And listen, listen, we all got preferences for our children, right? You don't have a preference for your child?
Whoever treats my daughter with respect and my daughter loves.
Okay, there you have it.
I need a little more than respect. I got my checklist is a little longer than respect.
Okay, well, Antonio Brown, let's talk about him.
She definitely can't date Antonio Brown.
White guy or Antonio Brown?
And neither.
All right, well, he's going back to school. We'll tell you what his plans are now, and we'll tell you about another accuser.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Antonio Brown has re-enrolled in some classes at Central Michigan. Now he posted a photo of his class schedule on Instagram yesterday and captioned it, "Back to School," since he's not in the NFL anymore. He is taking classes. They might be online courses because all four of those courses that he posted are offered online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you guys are keeping up with everything that's happening, apparently he was released on Friday after Sports Illustrated reported he contacted a second woman who made allegations of sexual impropriety against him. And these alleged text messages, and that is with a woman who's an artist. She has not gone public with her identity. And she also was previously featured in an article about Brown in which she claimed that he got naked and hit on her while she was working at his home in 2017. She said she did decline his advances and she felt he was being completely inappropriate, but she never went to the cops. She never took legal action against him. And then she said after she went public, he then sent her all these menacing text messages as part of a group chat. He was instructing associates to look at her personal life. Also, he included a photo of her children, and she took that as a clear threat.
I think that's a great way of Antonio Brown to use his time by going back to school, his downtime.
All right. And then in addition to that, she also says that during the 2 days that she worked in his home, he also would had sex in front of her with another woman while she was working in the same room. So while she's working, he was having sex with another woman right there.
Oh, she's not easily distracted then.
I mean, listen, I don't know. It's just a hard situation.
That don't sound a little wild to you, though? That don't sound a little odd.
Right.
You're just working in the room, somebody starts having sex, and you just
sounds disgusting. All right, now, Jonah Hill, according to an exclusive from Deadline, they said there's a rumor floating around that he is in discussions to be cast as the villain in the Batman film.
Penguin.
Where Robert
Pattinson ain't fat enough to be Penguin no
will
more.
Star in the title role, so... Some are speculating that he would play Penguin, but some people are saying the Riddler. I don't know.
Nah, Penguin. I definitely see Jonah Hill as a Penguin.
Yeah.
Well, they want him. Suit.
The old Jonah Hill could be ready.
It's not a done deal, but they do want him.
I could definitely see Jonah Hill playing
the
Penguin.
Yeah, I can see that, too. I can't wait to see Joker, though, by the way, next week.
All right, now, August Alsina has shared a health update. And it's been very tough for him, so our prayers are going out to August Alsina. He said, "My doctors have started me on my IV antibody immunotherapy. In short form, it's sort of like chemo, but instead for my immune system, only in this case not killing the cells, but encouraging my nervous system and body to rebuild." So he said, "I don't know, I'm still learning. I'd be lying if I said it hasn't been tough on my body, but there are necessary steps in order to make progress." So let's send our prayers out.
Yeah, I spoke to him about a week ago.
To August Alsina.
He was good in spirits, and he was telling me about his kids. So, shout out to August Alsina.
Now, Francis Montana has announced a new album, Montana, and that is going to be his third studio LP. He said that album will be out in November. Kanye West is going to take the Sunday services nationwide. I feel like he's been doing that, though. He's been going to different places. He was in Chicago and Cali, Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to continue that mission across the country. Now, other things that have happened. DJ Drama, his girlfriend, is accusing him of beating and biting her. She posted video of her hand and teeth marks, and here's what she said.
"I'm at the clinic right now. I'm about to get a shot. They wrapped my arm already, and they're going to give me some antibiotics for the bite marks because they were pretty deep, so I don't get an infection. Thanks for all everyone's DM. I can't reply to all of them because there are so many, but I'm okay, and I am going to leave, but there's no flights right now, so yeah, there's only much I can do. I literally don't have any money on me right now."
All right, so she is in Turks and Caicos still, apparently where they started off their vacation, and she's saying that she can't even get out of there.
Would the Drama say anything?
He hasn't said anything yet.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. All right, Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. 800-585-1051. Hit us up for the request. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I just signed a deal. I'm on. Yeah, yeah. I go where I want, good. Play if you want, let's do it. I'm a young CEO, sure. Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let me shout to everybody again that been hitting me about the real estate seminar we did on air yesterday. Shout to Caesar, Matt, Sabine, Jose. You know, it's very inspirational. I hear a lot of your stories and a lot of you guys trying to get into real estate and trying to create generational wealth. And I love to see you guys, you know, teaching your kids, because that's what we need to do. Teach our kids early. My daughter's 17. I'm teaching her about real estate now. My son is 15. He'll be 16 in a couple of months. I'm teaching him about real estate now. Try to teach him about generational wealth, so to make sure no matter what happens in life, there's always some type of income coming in. So I'll see you guys at one of our seminars, either in Atlantic City this week or Atlanta or Houston.
Now, all right, sounds good to me. And I also want to shout out my girls from Lip Service, because I do have a Lip Service national tour that is starting off in Philly October 20th and then New York October 21st. And then we take the show on the road. We're going to be in Charlotte. We'll be in Silver Spring, Maryland, a.k.a. also right there by D.C., Cleveland, L.A., San Francisco, a lot of different cities, Atlanta, and we're booking some great special guests. So we're going to start announcing who's going to be at the show. So I advise you to get your tickets now. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to get those, or you can go to LiveNation.com to find out where Lip Service will be in a city near you.
All right. Now, when we come back, we got your positive note. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Love.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
So bad.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, indeed. Hey, salute to everybody who came out last night to the event that 92Y did with me and my man Kevin Love. The event was all about mental health. You know, Kevin Love is a big mental health advocate, mm-hmm. as am I. He started going to therapy a couple years ago. So did I. He suffers with anxiety. So do I. So we just was kind of continuing the conversation. Not kind of. We did continue the conversation that we had on HBO's The Shop. And, you know, it was a packed event, sold-out event. And it's so interesting to me to see packed houses for men discussing mental health. It's like, who the hell have we become? But a salute to my guy, Kevin Love, and everybody at 92Y. And the positive note is simply this, man. Doing what you love is the cornerstone of having abundance in your life.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Real hot girl shit. Yeah, I'm in my bag, but I'm in his too. And that's why...
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.